Keith, what was your 60-second plan again?
The Italian breakfast, Vinny Pasquantino and Cole Reagans. You have to, it's a blockbuster deal, but you already have some good pitching prospects or young guys. You have an outfielder that you're trying to trade. You got Tristan Casas, who's a nice throw-in. You got a bunch of different things you can trade. So it'd be Reagans, the Pasquatch, and Bo Bichette.
Look, that's
and then
good.
You're cooking with gasoline.
Listening to Lou yesterday on WEI Afternoons, I wouldn't hold my breath on any of that, but I think it's a good plan.
Oh, I'm not holding my breath on anything related to the Red Sox at this point.
I don't even know
anything
if I should.
Positive related to the Red Sox.
I don't even know if I should hold my breath and or nose, which I'm prone to do,
yeah,
on this plan. But I got Paredes and Suarez, and there's your offseason. Boom, your offseason is now done.
Devastating.
You run it back with Jaron Duran. He's still here. Somehow you save some money shipping Yoshida out. I guess that was the one bright spot of my plan.
Oh, yeah, you got somebody to take Yoshida.
Great. Theoretically.
He's going to rake in the World Baseball Classic, and we're going to wish he was back.
But that's not what I'm reduced to. That's not my new plan, because that's what the Red Sox deserve based on this approach. But listening to Lou, what they should do. All right, fine. We have a market on these guys. Pete Alonso, the reporting yesterday from Tim Healy, which was two-pronged.
This is brutal, although not that surprising.
The Red Sox offer was for fewer years and significantly less money than he got from the Orioles.
Cool.
And then they're weary of Pete Alonso because of his age. He just turned 31.
Just turned 31. Happy birthday to Pete.
And yet they're in on Bregman and
older.
Marte
older.
And Suarez.
Older.
And they already traded for Sonny
Gray. Suarez is way older.
They ran it back with Chapman.
Yeah.
But they're worried about Pete Alonso's age.
I can't imagine.
It's like, here's the thing. Fine. I'll meet you here, John Henry. I'll meet you in the middle. You have a limit on these free agents. You want to break the players' union going into a potential work stoppage. Like, fine, I'll even get on board with all of that. You can't trade for some of these players? Like, fine, don't go out and sign them. You got to go trade for them. And I don't think that's a Henry thing. I've heard others try to apply that to John Henry. Like, he cares about prospects, which I don't really think he cares about. He might care about, like, the service time.
Well, right. How much is going to cost in the end?
The service time deficit, where if I'm trading, you know, prospects or young players who have 5 and 6 years of service time for a guy who I'm getting 1 or 2 years out of, maybe he cares about stuff like that. But then I do have to shift the attention to Breslow, where it's like, okay, John Henry doesn't want to spend. That blows. And it's unconscionable and it's horrible. But okay, that's what it is. Now you have a job to do within those parameters that are unfair and stupid and should never be the case, but now you got to work within the parameters. So you can sign Pete Alonso. You can give him $35 million, $32 million a year, whatever, to top the Orioles offer.
Mm-hmm.
But now you got to come up with how you're going to cut corners elsewhere or ship money out elsewhere. And if you can't do that, now you have a solution or need a solution to replace what Pete Alonso would have given you for production. Like, if that's what you're going to be, and every free agent offer is going to be 3 years with opt-outs, and you're never going to go to $150 million for 5 years guaranteed for anyone, then you need to be active on the trade market. And I'm sorry, I'm not talking about Sonny Gray and Oviedo. I'm talking about bigger fish than that.
But even with like Sonny Gray, for example, like, do you think that was the password trade, right? Was that Gray or Oviedo?
No, Oviedo was the password. Gray was Brandon Clark, forward out of Gonzaga.
Right. But even then, it was also what was important about that deal, the Sonny Gray deal, was making sure you only paid half the contract. And so maybe that also impacted the prospect you had to give up or whatever else. And you're saying, I just feel like they need to be players in free agency because it allows you to, like, really improve your team with, like, you've done a good job, and it's not just Breslow. It was Heimblum before this, and honestly, even a little bit of Dombrowski. But, like, getting young players, getting homegrown players, you've re-signed a bunch of those guys or extended a bunch of those guys. So you have a pretty good job there with your overall roster. But spend money where you don't have to give up prospects, and then that way there's still the opportunity for, like, a really big trade. Because now it seems like you're going to swing and miss in free agency. So if you do add anybody, it's from, I don't want to say gutting your farm system, that's too strong, but now you're going too far the other way because you're striking out in free agency. So now it's like, oh yeah, we had Toley and Early and all these guys. Well, now we got to trade like one of those. Or we had these outfields, now we got to trade those guys. Or even like the password. I don't think he was going to be this good major leaguer, but it felt like he could have been in like a bigger deal than the one he ended up going in.
Yeah.
Right? Because it seems you're sitting out a free agency.
And again, not that we expected him to do this, but you could have signed Dylan Cease and kept the password, and now you have him for a future. I 100% get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And I think there's an argument, Not that John Henry would listen to it. No. But I think there's an argument that can be made where spending some money like this in free agency actually might save you long term. It might save you money long term where you're keeping prospects and they're developing and you get to them early you did with Rafaela and Bayou and Bayo and Anthony, and you get to them early and pay them, and now you've locked those guys in at lower level deals when you had leverage. And I think there's an argument that can be made to John Henry that spending on some of these guys and keeping your prospects now and building that way while supplementing it with a free agent could actually save him money long term. But I don't think he's going to listen to any of that.
No, he's not. And so, then it just feels like, let's say he said, just for the sake of argument, they're like, all right, you have $100 million in like new payroll for this season, and now, Breslow, you can use that. Well, now he's too afraid to go to like $32 million for Alonso because in his idea, his plan now is all thrown off.
I think you're totally right about this. And yeah, I'm not.
So it's a combination. It's Breslow's fault and Henry's fault. It's both.
The biggest offender is Henry. He's the one who's in charge of the money. But okay, let's all wrap our heads around that. He's not going to spend money as an owner. It stinks. We hate it. Fine. Now Breslow has to work within those parameters. Last year, he did that well. You know, he brought in Bregman. Mm-hmm. He traded for Crochet. I gave him a lot of credit for it. Some thought too much. I think he had a great offseason last year. He's got to do it again this year. And
The Bregman one, like going back to that, like he gets credit because he signed him. There's all those reports that he didn't even really want.
Fine.
Him. But my other thing is.
You're right to say that.
I don't want to say luck, but there was more total dollars offered by other teams. Pretty rare, I feel like, where the player doesn't take the most total dollars. Now, you structure it in a way where you paid him through the nose per year and you got him, but it's not like you did the thing the Orioles just did, which was pay more than anybody else for Pete Alonso. You structured it in a way like, hey, we'll pay more this season for you, but I don't know, maybe they were worried about the age, or maybe they were worried about something, but they still weren't ready to go to 5 years for him.
But they got him. If you can play that game with Bichette, or I don't even know who that would be anymore.
I think Bregman's kind of unique in that sense.
Me too. But let's say you play that game and you end up with Bichette. Like, that is now what he has to do. And he's not. I won't let him off the hook. As on board as I was with him as a GM last year, I think he had a good year last year. Bad deadline, but overall, great year in terms of the baseball moves and the talent he added. The team was a playoff team. A lot of people didn't think that would be the case after the Devers trade. A lot of people didn't think that would be the case before the year. They were all wrong. Us two were right. They were all wrong on that, and I think Breslow was a big factor in that. But now he's going to do it again, and I don't like the start whatsoever. Remember, a year ago at this time, they were trading for Garrett Crochet.
Yeah, literally 1 year ago today.
I don't get the sense anything like that is anywhere close.
We're going to be smiling
at
some point about the Red Sox. Maybe something else. Maybe something else makes you smile. You don't need to get into specifics, but maybe as it relates to the Red Sox.
If we're smiling, I'm going to tweet at Will.
Good, yeah.
If I'm smiling by the end of the week, I will try to coax him back on the Twitter is what I will do. And we still have, what, I don't know.
We have another day.
Another, 28, Friday after 28-ish Friday hours. Yeah. Ralph is in Cranston. Ooh. Hello, Ralph.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
You know, the funny thing is we're here in Breslow, who had a great offseason, like you said, last year. He had a phenomenal offseason. And he didn't have a check. Here, take, spend what you want. Now you go to Henry. Now let's look at Henry. Henry came here. This team hadn't won in close to 100 years. He's won 4 championships, and he doesn't seem like a rah-rah sports fan. You might feel the same way if you were him. If you had us spending the money, going to the games, buying all this paraphernalia, I mean, what we're paying for our TV, you know, I could almost say, well, I understand that more, but we should blame ourselves because he knows no matter what, we're going to go and we're going to spend money. Now, what we do from here...
Ralph, I don't necessarily agree with that. He knows people will. It's not necessarily Red Sox fans. We've seen other fans
dominate,
take over the ballpark. So I don't fully agree with what you're saying. I think a lot of Red Sox fans have stopped spending their money and watching the team and going to games. Now, when the team is good like last year, they show back up. But we've seen other fans take over the ballpark. So his calculus is he knows people will come, not Red Sox fans.
Yeah, but let's look at the trade bait they have. This is why I don't think this is that tough of a job. I mean, you have guys that I would look to trade, Casas, Campbell, Bayo, Abreu, Duran, and the two pitchers he traded to bring in a 38, 36-year-old guy, whatever, you could have used them. there's deals you could have made. And you know, not getting Alonzo just showed them that they really don't want to spend money to bring in that power guy in the middle. They need an A2, and they need a power hitter.
Well, I agree with all that. He says blame the fans, not owners. That sounds like blame for ownership, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But no, they have plenty of guys they could trade off the big league roster, never mind minor leaguers. I agree with them on that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, overall, like, the roster's missing a couple of key pieces, but it's not that they don't have depth in other areas or, like, interesting pieces for other teams. Yeah. But, like, I feel like whatever the deal is, like, if Tarek Skubal gets traded by the Tigers, and he'll probably go to the Dodgers, but let's just say if he gets traded, you'll be able to look at that trade and say, here's the equivalent on the Red Sox.
Right.
And it'd be just,
Arias Toley and something else.
Like, 6 years ago, if you were like, hey, let's look at the Red Sox system and let's trade for prospects, no, you'd probably lose a lot of those to other teams that were trading their top guys. You might lose that, right? But all of a sudden, a whole bunch of, like, broken down the top 100 in baseball and all those lists.
Screw it. Sign Tucker. Trade two outfielders for pitching. There, I fixed it.
You think that's
happening?
I don't.
Will Kyle Tucker take – he's tied to a qualifying offer, right?
Will they sign somebody that makes more money than – Garrett Crochet total?
Nope.
I think he's at 170 for the whole contract.
No, the projected Bregman contract, and all of these contracts are
a little
Bregman
higher. Bregman would be less.
Bregman should be less than
now,
that.
Now, Bo Bichette might be more.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not saying they get him. I want them to.
I always forget about him because it doesn't feel like they're really in on Bichette to me.
Probably right.
But he would get more than Crochet. Okay. So if they sign him, sure. Big if.
Yeah, it's not happening.
617-779-7937. That's how you jump in line here on Jones and Keefe. We'll go back to the Pats. At 1 o'clock, we talked to Sal Capaccio out of Buffalo. I thought he had some interesting stuff on Steph Diggs, which we'll circle back to later on. Plus, Thursday, 1245, means it's time for the Madness. Keefer Madness.